B-Pod Studios.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes, a weekly podcast for WWE fans with James Stewart and Mike Riley.
The Rock knows exactly who you are.
Available at 985thesportshub.com, bpodstudios.com, and the Sports Hub app.
Toucher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. My house has got a tremendous amount of security on it. If you have the Ring app, it shows people from around your neighborhood. And DA would be very upset with this because it says, a known man at the front door. This is not my house. Only thing on my floor were my shoes. Looks like he picked up, I'm reading it exactly how it reads, looked like he picked up and looked at my shoe, then left. Why?
Well, he obviously was not a connoisseur.
Not been worn yet.
Obviously, you're not the right size, and perhaps not muddy enough for me to lick them dry.
Oh, all right, Will Princeton is a senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com, and he also hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello. Do you like my foot fetish character that I do of DA on your very network?
I think the goal is to be as creepy as humanly possible, so sure, it's really good.
The idea of him is that he would have the ladies of DA up, which were female sportscasters. And one time he took a picture of these women's feet, and he put them up there. So I assumed at that point, which probably is not true, that he had a foot fetish. And so which I find is the funniest of the fetishes, in that it's completely non-sexual.
I agree with the whole foot concept. I don't know the foot thing to which you refer to, but I'm all aboard. I mean, I would assume that this foot fetish that you have started with, you know, Rex Ryan and his fetish.
Oh yeah, that was delightful. I mean,
this fetish with Bill Belichick.
Yeah, the scenario where he put the feet, the wife's feet were out the door, and he goes, it is. don't mind if I do. So, yes. All right. So, anyway, his story is out, Mr. Brinson. Oh, yeah, it is.
I'll tell you this. While I was waiting to come on the show, having that in pumping through my eardrums made me wildly uncomfortable. If that was the goal, then you...
perhaps you could.
Do you have anyone who could step in some garbage?
Is it okay to touch him again?
Maybe a little dog food on the floor. Whoopsie daisies.
Okay. Well, you don't have to put your feet in. You can leave them out.
No.
That is one of my all-time favorite sports stories. Like when Rex Ryan and then Wes Welker going up there and doing the thing where you dip your toe in the water. It was brilliant.
He didn't care. And he was like, this is my wife. I love feet. Like, what are you going to do about it? Like, you know, like, would you catch me doing? I just love feet.
Isn't that the ultimate, like I am Belichick and this is the Patriot way move? Like, no one has trolled this. No one has trolled Bill Belichick harder and more unnecessarily, I might add, than Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
And Rex Ryan did all this stuff. And then he gets caught with his foot fetish. And Welker does a totally innocuous but completely hilarious press conference takedown where he just makes like 42 foot references, and then Belichick still somehow gets mad at him.
I think
it would have been like, nice job, Wes. Good job, Wes.
But then, no, I mean, you could be like, you know, we all love feet. Like, I mean, who doesn't? I mean, you saw Bill Belichick when he had his dog at the counter when he was being a silly goose during the draft. He was worshiping feet in the background. All right, Will Brinson. Will Brinson, a known foot fetishist. Will Brinson, I must ask you. So there is a story out now that it's by a guy that used to write for the Post,
Gary
I
Myers.
Believe. Yeah, he wrote to write
Daily
for the Post.
News. Yeah.
Same difference. One's Republican, one's Democrat. And no, it's true. The Post is Republican. The Daily News is Democrat. So
Post is owned by Murdoch and
yeah,
Fox.
They're a Murdoch paper. Yeah. So. So they're saying that there was a rift between McDaniels and Brady. Have you heard anything about that? Because I'll tell you my theory is that, you know what? I don't even care about that. Let me tell you my theory on McDaniels. Okay, is that McDaniels has completely screwed himself because if I'm CBS Sports – and I go, and I'm going to hire Will Brinson, and I go, my numbers, our page views are very bad. And you go, well, I don't want to take the job. I mean, they're very bad. And I would say, well, I'm hiring you to get them better. I think that McDaniels had screwed himself in that fashion. And maybe that makes people lose respect for him in the building, or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Josh McDaniels has probably put himself in a difficult position from the sense that he has now, you know, been fired from the Denver job. He has flirted with tons of other jobs, and you know, he took the Indianapolis job and then walked away. And now, you know, Tom Brady has left, and so it is pretty incumbent on McDaniels, I think, that the Patriots offense not be terrible this year. And that, like, so if, I guess what I'm saying is if the Patriots offense is hot garbage, regardless of, you know, how Jared Stidham looks, if the Patriots offense stinks and Tom Brady goes down and throws for 5,000 yards in Tampa, it's going to be pretty hard for Josh McDaniels to justify I was the mastermind behind the Patriots offense if he's seeking another job in the future. And, you know, one of the things that I think a lot of people believed was when he came back to New England was that, all right, you know, he's just going to be Belichick's successor. And it feels less and less likely now.
Yeah.
You know,
would you hire him?
Yes, with in the right situation with certain provisions. Like you're
okay,
not gonna...
what are the provisions? Because, you know, there's 32 jobs. And based on my point that you're not going to go to a good team unless someone dies. So what are the provisions?
Well, provision one would be you can't leave before you take the job.
Well, that would be, that, yeah. Well, so good for him.
Provision two is a foot fetish will get you fired.
Well, then guilty is charged.
Just saying, Your Honor. I would want to make sure that, like, and Chris Ballard has done an awesome job in Indianapolis and has brought in a great coach in Frank Reich, who's done really well, and they brought stability to that organization. And I think my concern, if I were a GM hiring Josh McDaniels, is that, you know, in the last two spots, non-New England spots, you would not describe what went on as stable or, like it just wouldn't be stable. I mean, like, you know, he Denver was a hot mess. And then Indianapolis, he left before he even took the job. So I think that would just be my concern. But I mean, I still think the guy's a good offensive mind. He spent a ton of time around Bill Belichick. So, I mean, I think he probably learned heading into his second stint as a head coach. But yeah, I mean, I would certainly be wary of it. And I think that was the case this past hiring cycle. I mean, you know, like the Panthers canceled an interview with McDaniels. They're like, all right, look, no, we like Matt Rhule. We'll roll with Matt Rhule. The Browns were flirting with the idea of McDaniels or trying to lure him there. And eventually they're like, nah, like, you know, Kevin's like, I think it's like, for lack of a better, you know, comparison. I mean, it's like, you know, do you want to date the hot crazy girl or, you know, just maybe, you know, date the pretty attractive but stable girl. I mean, like, you know, like it's, you know, there's a thought process that sometimes you just stay away from crazy.
All right. There was an interesting statistic we saw this morning, Will, and that was we were talking about teams that had the biggest increase and drop in ticket prices in the secondary market, like, you know, scalpers, when it comes to this last season to this season. Obviously, the Patriots with the biggest drop. Like, theirs went down, I think, 39%, so now people might be able to actually afford to go to a Patriots game. But the three that the ones that went up, obviously Tampa Bay, the Raiders was enormous. enormous. That was like 500% or something crazy like that. And also the Bengals. But there was one team that shockingly was near the top, and that is the New York Jets. They had a 153% increase in price on the black market. Do you think that is because Tom Brady is no longer in the division and that Jets fans actually have, for the first time in like two decades, a little bit of hope?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because it was weird. Nobody expected to see the Jets on there, but we were trying to figure out why that would have been. And Fred is obviously a Jets fan. So, like, can you think of any other explanation as to why Jets fans all of a sudden are paying 153% more than they did last season?
Well, I mean, the only thing I can think of is that, you know, it's actually other teams' fans and Bills fans who want to see Josh Allen twice from weeks 1 through 7.
Sure.
No, I honestly don't know. I mean, that's because, I mean, they play the Chiefs on the road. Obviously, they play the Patriots once. I mean, like, their home games aren't. It's the 49ers, Broncos.
They are predicted by Vegas to lose 14 games in every away game.
Really?
That's not true. It's not remotely true.
you got money on it there, Brinson?
They're predicted to lose every away game.
Yeah, but to lose 14 games, they're only going to win 2 games in the regular season?
Their over-under is not 2.
No. Okay, I'll find it. It's Manish Mehta.
Are you saying
put it
they're
out.
Favored? Vegas? No. Vegas has them at like 6 or 7,
no,
right?
No, I know that, but okay. Rich Cimini, I'll find it.
They're favored to lose all away games is what you're saving.
Away games.
Okay.
And then
that's pretty common among like 30 of 32 NFL teams that you're going to be an underdog on the road.
Okay. It doesn't bode well for them. They're predicted to lose every game on the road. I'll find it. I'll find Manish Mehta's thing. But the reason I think that's happening is that they finally believe they have a shot at doing something this year because they have the best quarterback. Okay, so let's break it down. The Jets have a better running backs than the Patriots. They have, not as good receivers. They have an offensive line that's in flux, but we'll see. They have a better defensive line. They have better linebackers. They have better safeties, and they don't have as good cornerbacks.
You cannot describe an offensive line, like a clearly inferior offensive line, as in flux, so we'll see, when comparing them to the Patriots. Like the Patriots have 5 good offensive linemen.
Okay, here you go.
Odds maker.
No, there's no one back from next year. Odds maker. Jets are favored in only 3 games in 2020. Jets are favored in only 3 games in 2020, according to Odds Maker. This is in the Daily News. The NFL released a full 2020 schedule last week, prompting a wave of prognostications, if I said that correctly. All right, shut up. The Jets are only favored against the Cardinals week 5, Dolphins week 11, and Raiders week 12.
Just wait till they trade Jamal Adams, then let's see where they are.
They're not going to trade Jamal Adams.
Yeah, but I mean, you can say that now, and I mean, I get why Manish did that, and it's fine. But look, if they start out 2-1 and beat the Bills and the Colts, then they'll be favored against the Broncos. They'll be favored against the Bills. If you know Tyrod Taylor, the Chargers stink to join up, they might be favored at the Chargers.
If you know these guys, tell me why Manish Mehta said it, because I know.
Well, because it's doom and gloom.
No, because he hates gays.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't like gay. Yeah, not a lot of people like gay.
Yeah, he hates them. So what do you know about Gase? Do you think that Gase is what I've heard about him is that he's a brilliant mind, but he's the kind of mind like that's a perfect, like that movie.
Like he's that, bad with people. He's bad with
that,
people.
Like,
with a
that
mind.
He's, yeah, like a beautiful mind that he's not good with people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's—I don't know if it's like he's not good with people so much as he like doesn't give a bleep about being good with people. I mean, you know, he's a really smart offensive mind. I think, you know, one of the things though is like, you know, I mean, look, statistically, I don't think he has a team that's finishing the top 10 in offense that didn't feature Peyton Manning as a quarterback. That's sort of, you know, that's a red flag. I mean, but look, he was Peyton Manning's guy. Like, Peyton Manning loved him. And Brady Quinn, who's on my podcast very frequently, a good friend of mine, was one of the quarterbacks out there in Denver. And worked
He was so good in the pros.
Brady Quinn?
Yeah. Well, he was not a failure at all. I mean, he really lived up to that billing coming out of Notre Dame.
Well, in Brady's defense, he went to Cleveland, which is a suck hole of suck. And
is he still married to the gymnast lady Alicia from Sacramento. Boston?
Yeah, they got three little girls now. Yeah,
she ruined her body. Okay,
I think she still calls gymnastics for ESPN3 or something like that. And
I knew that.
And, yeah, I'm sure you watch gymnastics. That would be the least surprising thing. and then Brady also had a Lisfranc injury, like Cam Newton had this all season. That's
all right. You don't have to defend Brady Quinn. I was busting your balls. All right. So
anyway, he thinks Gase is a very smart offensive mind. I mean, like I tend to agree that he's got like he knows what he's doing from a schematic standpoint. But like part of the problem of being an NFL head coach is that if you decide that you're not going to be nice to people and you're going to be an a-hole, and this applies to almost any walk of life. If you decide that you're going to be an a-hole in when you're doing your job, you're going to have a shorter leash.
Isn't that the Steelers' success is that they've used head coaches that were not necessarily X's and O's guys, but that kind of oversaw the operation? I mean, I don't know about Noel, but if you look at Cowher and Tomlin, like they're not brilliant, minds in terms of X's and O's, but they were great managers of people.
His handling of Antonio Brown alone, my God.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
I mean, I think that goes back to like the history of football. I mean, Bill Cowher's a really good defensive mind, but I mean, like, yeah, he's more of a, even Bill
but
Belichick.
He had a great defensive coach behind him. I mean, he had one of the great defensive minds of all time behind him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's the CEO mentality. I mean, like, the same thing with Belichick, right? Like, Bill Belichick is one of the most brilliant schematic minds of all time. But the reason that Bill Belichick had a dynasty in New England and maybe still has a dynasty in New England for 20-plus years is because of his CEO nature and because he was able to hire the right people around him. He was able to educate the people he hired to become smart coaches. He was able to manage the salary cap really well. He understood the nuances of free agency and all that. Like to me, it's secondary. What he did on the field is almost secondary not on a game by game basis, but on a 20-year standpoint. Like his understanding of the economics of how the professional football work is why he had why the dynasty has rolled on as long as it has. And I think, you look around the league, like, it's not guys who come in with like the wizardry. For instance, if somebody were to hire Greg Roman, I know that like he's done a great job with previously in Buffalo, in San Francisco, and he's killing it with the Ravens now. And I'm not but I don't think you can know that he's going to come in and be a great head coach because it's two different skill sets, being a coordinator and a head coach.
Right. So it's more of a management, and you have to oversee everything and. Other than being a specialist, right?
Yeah, you go from being like a guy that the owner's hey, offense looks good, Jimmy, to, step into my office and explain to me why everything is falling apart because you're bleeping fired.
Right.
It's just like the college level. Like, you go from being the offensive coordinator who's installing schemes and working with the quarterback and players on offense to all of a sudden you're dealing with boosters and you're dealing with recruiting and you're dealing with, events like the head coaching job, at the pro and college level is just a different job than any other coaching position there is.
All right. Well, listen, Will Brinson, always a great guest repping North Carolina in isolation. Repping it, not having to fly. But Will Brinson, thank you so much for the time. You can see the what is the podcast? The Pick 9?
Pick 6.
I have dyslexia. Yeah. I see numbers upside down. All right. The Pick Six podcast, you can get that at CBSSports.com. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, guys. I have no idea what we talked about. Good talking to you, though.
All right. Very good.
He's just, yeah, good. All right, guys. I'm left with confusion. I don't know what just happened there, but have a good one.
It was the AFC. We talked about the AFC.
If he does any more of all the I don't know how many other radio stations he does across the country, but I guarantee you he remembers this interview for the rest of the day.
We're his favorite. We're always his favorite.
Yep.
Foot fetish? You think that was the deal?
I put it over the top for sure.
God bless him. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
Brad? No way. No way. Come on.
Fred.
Really? Oh boy.
What are we batting this morning?
We're batting about 300 the last 2 hours. This could have been a bathroom trip, though. Come on now.
Fred, where are you? Fred. Oh, boy. That's going to be a nice phone call later. All right. Well, 98.5 is Sports Hub. It is Toucher and Rich. And Fred will be back, I'm sure, at any moment. So we will all just kind of sit and wait patiently until then.
Yeah. Did he say he was going to watch Lord of the Rings today?
Maybe. Let's listen to some music in the meanwhile.
I was golfing today.
Diarrhea. Diarrhea. Diarrhea.
This should be the theme whenever Fred's done on the other end.
Diarrhea. 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 Water.
That's the part of the song I sing.
Here's the game. Will we get through the entire diarrhea song before Fred gets back?
Yes. Yes, we will.
Solid poop has become diarrhea. It's not a trick.
35 more seconds.
It means I'm sick. There's no way
I'm going to win this bet.
I'm here.
Oh, damn it.
Oh, we were playing.
Damn it. I lost.
You'd be back before the diarrhea song was over.
Come on, Fred.
I'm here.
You could have waited 20 seconds.
But I can't diarrhea. Close it shut. I think I've had enough. It feels so rough. I'm filling up my lake instead of pooping out of
you did it with 26 seconds left in the song, Fred.
Jesus, Fred.
Everything's been solved. There just had to be some massaging of a situation, and now that's done.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we live another day. I don't know how you guys are getting through this without any kind of tension anywhere.
No, there's tension, but yeah. But during the show, I do close the door, and no one's allowed in. That's kind of the way. We just close the door.
I am trapped in I don't know how much you know how, Rich, you're probably doing this too, but I am social isolated to the point where, like, there's no one.
There's no one
as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and it's only in the low 60s. So on Friday, it gets to be in the 80s. And I can't wait until I play golf with my dad and get several life lessons. So that will be the highlight of my day.
But at least you'll be waiting a long time to play.
I got him a Stan Musial rookie card. And so that was my gift to him. In poor condition. And you know what, John? Guess how much a Stan Musial rookie card in a poor condition costs?
$25.
$90.
Oh, all right.
Well, it's from like 1942 or something.
Oh, all right.
In poor condition? Wow.
Yeah, number a one. A
whoa.
One. That's right. That shocks you. That knocks you for a loop.
Do you find yourself making dumb purchases just to find happiness during the quarantine?
Yes. Not after the $1,700 that I paid to get my dog down here.
None more dumb than that.
Yeah.
No, I had to do it. There was no other option. But okay, this is funny. So my mom said to me yesterday, and here's how my mom prefaces everything. She goes, I'm only going to say this once, Freddie, and I don't want you to get mad at me. And I guarantee you I'm only going to say this once. And she goes, don't spend your money, all your money, because, you know, your father and I, as you know, did not spend much money. And now we're living like this. And she goes, don't live a lavish lifestyle, when she heard about the dog. And I go, I'm sitting on a dock with my mom making hamburgers. How is this a lavish lifestyle? And then I had to explain to her to put the dog in the kennel for 3 months would set me back a few. So she to my parents, sending the dog down here, which is a lot of money, and I'm not going to lie, it's a lot of money, but sending my dog down here was like tantamount to buying like a Fabergé egg. It was like the greatest expense that's ever existed in the planet. So I had that. But my mom
fantasized about that job, by the way, yesterday, and I'm not joking. Like, you know, your mind tends to wander when you're in quarantine, and I thought about, I was like, oh my God, $1,700 to just drive a dog across a couple of states. I was like, I want to do that on the weekend. And I think that was more just wanting to kind of get away. Like, that's kind of like just to break loose. But to get paid like $1,700 to drive for like 2 days, oh my God, that's like that would be like a dream job for me. I would love that job.
See, that would be the worst. I hate driving.
I hate it.
See, I wish I liked it. I know other people that like it too. I don't like it. I hate it.
I mean, some states suck. Some roads suck, but there's certain parts of the country where driving rules. Because, like, I mean, out west, it's the greatest because you're opening it up and you're wide up and you got the mountains and you've got, you know, like that stuff's to me. Like, I'm into that weird stuff. I like going to places where you press scan on the radio and you literally get no reception anywhere.
See, that's a nightmare to me.
That's creepy, Rich.
I know, and I like that. Oh my God. To me, that's kind of all right.
What's the fastest you've ever gotten in a car?
Okay, so there was one time where I had a rental car when we went out. This was years ago. We were out in Vegas, and it was this like very small, like Toyota box, whatever they are. What was like the one that everyone had, the Accord or whatever, a Honda Accord.
Camry?
No, it was like a Honda Accord. I took that sucker up to about 103, and the steering wheel started shaking. I thought that the windows were going to pop off the thing. Like, it just shook. Like, it couldn't take it.
Okay, I have two stories. I used to work in Cumming, Georgia, which at the time there was no one there. And I lived in the city, and it was a, like, 40-mile drive. And I took my Bronco up to 100, and it shook to the point where the engine blew.
Yeah, ooh, right.
Man.
Like, it's about to blow Jaguar up. Like, it feels like it's about to, like parts of it are about to start flying off.
But I've taken the Jaguar out to 125.
Oh, awesome.
Really?
Well, Fred, that's the thing about out west is that there's roads where you can see, and I've done this before, like I've looked at the top of a mountain, like it'll be just a straight road and you can see where it meets like the horizon and ends up going down another hill. And what I'll do is I'll mark that and I'll go, okay, I want to see how many miles that is. And I usually try to guess. You can see for miles ahead of you, like 10, 15 miles, and you can tell that there's no cop cars. So if you're the only one on the road, you're wide open to go as fast as you want to go.
I would hate that. I don't like being in the middle of nowhere. Because if something happens, you're screwed. I need other people to help me. I have no confidence in my own ability to help myself. I need other people to help me. At all times.
I can't think of how amazing that would be, Fred. If I was with the – I mean, first of all, you know, you stop every couple hours, you walk the dog. But then when you're on a road trip, like the drive-thrus are like heaven. You're just like, all right, let's just – I can wait till the next exit to get to the Taco Bell. I can go – you know, Chick-fil-A here, I can double dip. I can go to Taco Bell and I can go to Chick-fil-A in the same run-through. And then you just keep going. Dude, especially now with the pandemic when no one's on the road, you're cannonball running the entire way. Oh, that is a dream.
Did we talk about a guy that got to L.A. from New York in 26 hours?
Yeah, it was in the New York Times. He wrote an article about it, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, I've been 100 and, what did I say, 120, 130? I've taken the Jaguar up to that amount of speed. And my kids were in the front seat. But, I mean, it was just the whole thing.
I think realistically the closest I've driven is I think I've gone over 110 in like a regular car, and that's it. And because at that point, then you start like thinking, okay, if this thing gets out of control, then I'm flipping all over the place.
The thing about my car is that it was still fairly, I mean, it was still stable. Like it didn't feel weird. It was 120, wasn't 130. It was 120. But it, like, it didn't feel weird. Like it felt like I still had the control. Unlike the Bronco, that the radiator exploded.
Right.
You know, I left that on the side of the road, and I got an Enterprise car to pick me up, and I just left it on the side of the road. I never picked it up.
I never got it.
No, I never got it again. That was the case with that. All right, Rich, what's going on? Give me something.
All right, when we get back,
give me something I can riff on. Give me something I can riff on.
All right, after Wallach's headlines, a couple of things. First of all, there's a new TV show that's coming out starting next week, hosted by Seth MacFarlane, that I can't figure out whether it's going to be a disaster or it's going to be amazing TV. I'm going to need your opinion on that.
He's swung and missed a couple of times since Family Guy, but go ahead.
He has, and also the list of the greatest sports video games of all time just came out, and I've been steaming over the last 30 minutes looking at this thing. Slights everywhere on this list.
All right. Now, is stand-up video games or just video games in general?
Both.
Okay. All right.
So be thinking. What would be on your list? Because I guarantee you at least a couple of them aren't on this one.
I know that RBI is number one, but we'll be back. Here are the headlines.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
We'll tell you this is that I will tell you who the stack is from in just a matter of moments. Allow me to do that. I know it's from a wonderful sponsor. And it is on my phone, and I will tell you that in just a matter of moments. Fear not, this is all going to happen.
I think it would be Window Nation, Fred, if I had to guess.
It is Window Nation, and they pay you, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Oh, you know what's funny is that I have no endorsements. So God bless them for endorsing you.
Yeah.
I have none. I'm treading on very, and I took a pay cut.
Yep.
So I'm really rolling in it. All right, go ahead.
All right, so CBS
No,
Sports.
No, I got to read it. All right,
oh,
all right.
I thought you said go ahead. I was like.
Okay, no, I got it. I got it. I got it from you. All right. Oh, my God.
Would you like me to do it,
healthcare,
Fred?
Do you have it?
Yeah, I believe I do.
It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale.
That's right.
No down payments, okay, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Thank you, John. WindowNation.com.
Well, if you would
go to WindowNation.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, listen, they're paying you, and you still don't know it. Window Nation, Toucher at 985thesportshub.com.
Yes.
All right. What's going on, Rich?
Well, CBS Sports has come up with a list that I've been somewhat fascinated by just how poorly they put this thing together. It was a look at the 10 best sports video games of all time. They picked the 10 best of all time. Now, would you, first of all, what, in your opinion, just give me one. What do you think is the best sports video game of all time?
Okay, I have two.
I have three. Yep.
All right. RBI or Sports Talk Baseball?
Neither one on the list.
Okay. No. MVP Baseball 2005, NHL 94, Tecmo Bowl.
Yeah, well, NHL 94 okay. is on it.
So let's get through the ones that they have.
Tecmo Bowl sucked, by the way.
See, I wasn't even a Tecmo Bowl fan, but I know why it would be on the list.
Because if you were the Eagles, the guy that died, the defensive lineman, there was a crack in the game where you could get him through the line every time.
Well, that's the whole. was Reggie White?
No, no, the guy who died. He died early.
Well, Bo Jackson obviously was the big one there.
No, I mean, but you could stop Bo Jackson with this guy. Oh. There was a kink in the game. Reggie, go ahead, Dan. Go on the air.
I just think his last name was Mike was telling me his last name Brown, maybe.
Yeah, there was a kink in the game, which in college I lost a few shekels when people understood that because he could tackle Bo Jackson in the backfield.
All right, looking on this list, there are 5 out of the 10, in my opinion, that are worthy of being on here. Jerome the other 5, I don't know why they're here. So they have at number 10. And by the way, I'm not even sure if these are in this order. They just have the top 10. So they chose their 10 favorites, but the way that it's listed. So they have number 10, NBA 2K19. Nope. That shouldn't be on this list.
Well, I play that with my son, but yeah, it's not.
It's. I mean, there's fine. A million better basketball games. Number 9, Tecmo Bowl. I agree. Tecmo Bowl, say what you will, Fred. I know you didn't like it, but it's a classic. Everybody played it. It's a good game.
But you could figure it out.
You could, but everyone had it. Like, that was like, you have to put that on this list. It was one that everybody had.
But if there is a kink in it where Jerome Brown would get through the line every time.
Then you'd have a little bit of an issue. Yes, you would. At number 8.
I'm being told by Lockhart that was Super Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, okay.
The Eagles were not part of the original. I apologize for
Super
that.
Tecmo Bowl, not on this list. So number 9 was Tecmo Bowl. Number 8, couldn't agree more, Mario Kart 64. Absolutely, that should be on this list. Mm-hmm. And number 7, I don't know if this is the year, but it should be on the list because a Madden needs to be on here. They have Madden 2004. I think that was years before they changed the controllers and got it so damn complicated. Because I think 2004 was right about the time where it was in its sweet spot. For it not being too technical, but just technical enough. It got weird after a while. Like around 2006, I think they changed everything. Number 6, absolutely should be on this list, NBA Jam, which I can't wait till the Arcade 1-Up stand-up series comes out. I think that's more months we got to wait for.
You can get
that
it for free on Xbox.
No, it's the stand-up machine, the NBA Jam.
No, but you can get NBA Jam for free on Xbox.
Ah, nice. At number 5, NBA Street Volume 2. What?
I have no idea what that is.
Number 4, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Yes, you got to put this on that list. That was a great game.
I've wasted more time with that than I would care to imagine.
Do you remember 720 that used to be at the arcade? Like, it was one of the first big skating games.
Well, 720 is when you stood on the skateboard, right?
Did you stand on the skateboard? God, I forget.
Yes, I think 720 you stood on the skateboard.
Okay. I forget. I did have the Nintendo version of 720. It also had TNC surf and skate designs. Was easy.
That was so hard to beat.
That was like the easiest game ever.
Yeah, you had to jump over hurdles. It was really hard.
I had never heard of this game, and you put it on your list. At number 3, they have MVP Baseball 2005.
Yeah, Manny Ramirez is on the cover. And was that the one, Fred, that had Tessie as the soundtrack? I think it was.
No, I thought that was – no, that one was
– No, because – yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Was that MVP Baseball? I thought that was a different
one. Yeah, MVP Baseball. Manny Ramirez is on the cover, and it had Tessie as the sound on part of the soundtrack.
Yeah, you're right, because I moved here in 2006, and my morning show had a – well, the people that weren't geriatrics, they would come over to my house, and we had a tournament. Every like Wednesday, so yes, I think that is true, and that was a great game. That was a great game.
At number 2, NCAA Football 14. All right,
I think that had shoelaces on the cover, that for Michigan, but I might be wrong.
Is that the last one? Was that the last one?
The most recent one?
Yeah, I mean, they stopped making the game because they're college kids, and there was a lawsuit filed and all that stuff.
Maybe it is, and maybe that's why it's
that
on the
might
list.
Be the last one they made. Yeah.
And number 1, they have NFL Blitz. I was not a big NFL Blitz fan. I mean, it was
NHL 94. Where the hell's that?
I know. Okay, so I have a list of ones that should be on here. NHL 94. There's no excuse.
NFL Blitz was at a. I worked at a bar where they had NFL Blitz, and I will agree with you. It was not the greatest.
No, a lot of arcades or a lot of bars had NFL Blitz, and I remember playing it and just being underwhelmed every time. All right, how do you have this list and not have NHL 94? How do you have this list and not have Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Yep. Agreed.
Like, that's a top 5 sports game. And everyone had it back in the day, too. I don't understand why that's not there.
I have no problem with the two things you suggested.
I also think that you have to put on this list because it's whenever I was doing bar appearances and like it was getting kind of boring, if that bar had a Golden Tee machine, I was A-okay.
Yep.
Like Golden Tee is just like a comfort game. Like wherever it is, it's easy to play, it's easy to figure out, and it's fun.
It's too easy.
Maybe that's the case, but Golden Tee is, like, as far as stand-up, that's kind of the standard right now. Like, if a stand-up arcade sports game, Golden Tee is it.
You have to be truly dumb not to be good at Golden Tee. It's a very, very easy game.
However, right. Once you got to the back nine, not fun.
Oh, really? See, I don't think I ever got
because it gets boring.
Back nine has, like, greens with 45-degree slopes and things like that, and not fun.
All right. Also, on my list, what I would have put on there, I would have definitely thrown in, and this is once again, I don't know if it's worthy of it, but I loved Double Dribble. Double Dribble have the Lakers. No, you had the Breakers instead of the Lakers. But yeah, the Bulls were licensed.
You're remembering something that was not good.
But that was a big game.
Pure nostalgia.
Yep,
no, I had it. But that's pure nostalgia. When you dunked, it just showed a picture of someone dunking.
Three guys. It would be three frames. And that was super cool at the time. Like that. Was
no, it wasn't.
It was never cheap. Cool, Rich.
No, it was awfully cheap.
Yeah, it was.
But there was nothing like it at that point. Like, and for the NES, that was a big deal.
And it hadn't been anything like it since for a reason, Rich. It's an awful video game. Terrible.
Anytime that you...
Double Dribble did not suck. That was a fun game.
No,
do you guys remember a game, and you might not, but if at Toucher and Rich on Twitter, I went to Chuck E. Cheese for a kid's birthday, Todd Anderson's birthday party, and they had a game that was like a live action football game, like with football like being played, like NFL football being played, and you were like, oh my God, this is insane. Yeah. And then it was like the worst thing ever. Like you would go like, you remember that, John?
Yes, I do. I do. Yeah. And it was always like the Raiders and some other team.
Yes. Absolutely.
I remember this. It was a terrible game. And you're like, okay, draw play. And you'd get stuffed at the line each time. It was like it was caught in a loop. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Terrible game.
Yeah. But you were so amazed that it had this technology.
Yeah.
That was Todd Anderson, the birthday party where he gave me Theater of Pain by Motley Crue, and I threw it away. I threw it across the room.